I've been thinking about Mr. Rogers this week. Sometimes when the news is not good and the world feels like a dark and scary place, I remember something he once said. When I was a boy, he said, I would see scary things in the news, and my mother would say to me, look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping. To this day, especially in times of disaster, I remember my mother's words, and I'm always comforted by realizing that there are still so many helpers, so many caring people in this world. They are treasures, the helpers, the people who yell, grab my hand and run for cover and help a complete stranger, the paramedics and the firefighters and the police officers, the politicians who lift laws so that aid can get to Puerto Rico, the people who forego something so that they can write a check for disaster relief, the foster parent who takes in the child who's already seen too much in the world, the parent with the wise word, the friend who shows up and does your laundry when you're flat out sick in bed, the teacher who buys school supplies for the child who cannot afford them. My friend Chris Chikoyan, who served here as associate pastor a little while back, would say to somebody, stars in your crown, you would do something good or generous or kind or brave, something good for God, and she would look you straight in the eye and say, stars in your crown. And by that, I think she meant, your good deed might not get much notice here, but that crown that awaits us in heaven, that crown just got another jewel. In these words from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is encouraging us to get our priorities straight, to be mindful of the things that we do that have an impact on this life and the things that we do that have an impact on the life to come. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So this week I've been thinking about what we treasure. If any of us were to walk into each other's homes or look at each other's checkbooks or credit card statements or look at each other's calendars or resumes, what would we learn? Would we have a picture about what any one of us treasures here on earth? If any of us were to read the newspaper or watch the news or scan social media, would we get a picture of what our society values? Do we treasure professional athletes? Do we treasure freedom or our rights or freedom of speech? Do we treasure violence? Because we have an awful lot of that. And what about all those people who are part of our community who do not have a home, who do not have a bank account or a credit card, who don't keep a calendar or have a resume on hand? What about them? Sometimes the things you don't have are what is most precious: safety and security, a roof over your head, friendship, good health. Ever since I became a pastor 24 years ago, and since I became a parent 11 years ago, I've thought about how we teach values, how we walk alongside each other to determine what is important and what isn't, and how we know the difference. And we who are people of faith have a little bit of advantage because we have this big book, and in it are stories and songs and teachings that help us know what is important and what isn't. And if we study this big book, which we call the Bible, and we learn about it with each other, and we dig into a deeper understanding, heart and mind understanding of God and Jesus, well, then we get some clarity about what is important and what isn't, about what is of value and what isn't, about what is treasure and what's just clutter. Recently, as the fires raged through the Columbia Gorge and verged near Troutdale, and we read about people who were given very little time to gather their valuables and get out, I woke up early one morning and couldn't go back to sleep, and I started thinking, you know how that happens, too early and your mind starts going and that's it. I started thinking and I asked myself, if I were told I had 15 minutes to gather what was precious to me and get out of my house, what would I take? Assuming the people and the unphotogenic dog were safe, what would I take? I would take my wallet and my phone and my passport and my computer. And I would take my computer not because it has all these important documents on it and not because I can't live without the internet, but because what's on there are all my photographs. And the photographs themselves really are of no value, but the stories they tell, the people in them, my family and friends and the memories that they shared, well, those are treasures for me. Some of them are my treasures who are now in heaven, in a place where their bodies can no longer be hurt by disease or violence or simply death. My Aunt Leslie died last year, and she left me her collection of cat figurines. 60 porcelain, wood, plastic, china, glass, and metal cats that are spread sporadically throughout our house. I appreciate the gesture, but I don't treasure these cats. What I treasure is the photo I have of my Aunt Leslie and my Uncle Jerry from our wedding, which was the last time that I saw her. And yet these words of Jesus urge us to go deeper. There are people who are treasures to us, and maybe we are treasures for someone else, and it's important to acknowledge that. But Jesus is also asking us to think about doing things that build up riches in heaven, those things that have nothing to do with wealth or power or prestige. Last Thursday night, I went to a prayer meeting at Bethel AME Church. People who wanted to get together after the shootings in Las Vegas were invited to come. And there were maybe 24 people there. It was not a big crowd. But the church was very warm and inviting. And because there were so few people there, we were invited to stand up and introduce ourselves and say why we had come. The first two people who spoke were women, both part of organizations that are looking to change gun laws. The first woman said she took up the cause of gun control after Sandy Hook. And the second woman said that she took up the cause after the shootings at Mother Emanuel Church. We haven't gotten very far since those events. It's not popular to talk about gun control. If it were popular, we would have changed things. But I thought about the treasures in heaven that those women are storing up, taking on what seems to be an impossible task, saying unpopular things because of what they sense is right and moral and life-giving. When it was my turn to speak, I stood up. I said, I'm Beth Neal. I'm pastor at Westminster Presbyterian Church, and I'm here because I'm getting a cold, and I'm tired, and I'm sad, and I'm angry, and I needed to be with people of faith, and I needed to hear that God still loves us, and I'm still looking for a word to say on Sunday. Then I sat down. But the conversation continued in my head. I knew that all week I'd been thinking about treasure. And I thought about the treasure that those 58 people who were killed must have been to those who knew them and loved them. And I wondered what kind of treasures in heaven they had stored up in their life, in their words, in their deeds. Many of us are feeling pretty overwhelmed. Maybe most of us are feeling pretty overwhelmed. There's been so much suffering because of natural disaster. Our politics are dividing us further and further. And this week, the shooting in Las Vegas, it's a lot. It is a lot. And it seems that there's no one big solution that's going to solve everything. So I watch people every day. I watch them do something good. Every day, I watch people who give of themselves to make the world better or easier for someone else or for a whole community or for a nation. Last week, people showed up to advocate for two new middle schools that will have a big impact on our Northeast Portland community. And last week, there was a breakfast that honored the vendors of Street Roots magazine, because Street Roots not only gives employment and community, but also provides important journalism. And I looked this up. Last week, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance was working in the Pacific Northwest, in the Caribbean and the U.S. after Hurricanes Harvey, Irma, and Maria, in the U.S. South after tornadoes that happened a while ago, in Haiti, Cuba, and the Dominican Republic, still affected by Hurricane Matthew. They were in Mexico and Sierra Leone and Colombia and Peru and Burundi and Flint, Michigan. Last week, someone became an advocate in the child court system. And last week, someone stood up to a bully. And last week, some people won a prize for advocating for no more nuclear weapons. And last week, someone wrote a poem. And last week, someone saved a stranger's life. The good that you do today, or the good that I do today, might not seem like much. Little things by themselves feel, well, little. Some of you know that I've been making paper mosaics. And I take a little square of paper that's maybe a half inch square, I pick it up, and I glue it down. And then I take another little piece of paper that's more or less the same color, and I pick it up, and I glue it down next to the first piece of paper. And I do that over and over again until finally a picture emerges. The good that we do accumulates. We help the stranger, and we feed the hungry person, and we advocate for justice, and we're kind to an unlikable person, and we say something that isn't popular, but that's right, and we do all those things again and again and again until finally a picture emerges, and it's the picture of a treasure house. Not only in heaven for a life yet to come, but a treasure house here on earth, right here, right now, for us and for everyone. Stars in your crown. And remember, where your treasure is, do you know the words? There your heart will be also. Amen.